morning. Starting with the first patriarch of Zen, Bodhidharma. Zen is taught to not rely on words, but on direct experience. Zen is not about stopping thinking, although thinking can stop. Zen is not about doing away with words. So what is different from direct experience and relying on words? Of course, I can't tell you. You have to experience it directly. Now you hear, now you see. As soon as you say, I, it's no longer direct. Now it is being filtered. Experience true mindfulness, which is direct experience, not I am experiencing, no I. Is there an I? I see you. You see me. I have a name. You have a name. But what is this? Direct experience of our original nature. Is mind thinking? Is that what mind is? Is mind up here? Is this it? Everything happening right here? I think, therefore I am. Really? You think, therefore you are? There's all these stories about enlightenment. How does enlightenment happen? Does it happen through getting a PhD? I don't think so. Does it happen by acquiring things? I don't think so. Does it happen by running away from what you don't want to see? I don't think so. These are all the things that are the circle of life that is called samsara, making it something, by thinking it's something. It all comes down to identification. When you say, I see, I hear, I taste, I feel, who's this I? It's not the same I as it was the last minute. Your I is not permanent. It's not fixed. It's constantly changing. Show me where it exists. I'm not trying to do away with, you know, my karma. I have it just like you. But I'd like to be able to see through it, see it for what it is. Be actually in this moment. I've told this story about a game we used to play when I was a child. And some other wise child taught it to me. And that was making clouds disappear. Girl who was maybe a couple years older than me. We were sitting around and watching the clouds. And she said, watch, I can make the clouds disappear. The clouds and I are one. We're disappearing just like the clouds and reappearing, different formations. If you catch me at the right time, it'll be a lot of thunder and lightning. Sometimes it'll be wispy. Thick fog. But that's not who I am, is it? Clear like space. So I keep talking, keep using words, but every once in a while I say, just be awake. When we talk about we have it, we just don't know it. This is what I'm getting at. Direct experience of our original nature. It's not out there. It's not defined by your thinking. Your freedom is already present. Your joy, your universal experience of being is already there. But it's just not you, the way you're defining it right now. It's beyond that. It's beyond space and time and your idea of how things are, or my idea, or anybody's. I think it was last week I talked about having a healthy skepticism. To me, healthy skepticism is nothing other than direct experience. What is directly happening here in front of me right now? So what I think is happening, I doubt it. And when I talk about getting out of the way, what am I talking about? Who am I talking about? It's not real, the getting out of the way. What's getting out of the way is doesn't even exist. It just thinks it does in that moment. But on the other hand, look at this. I have this body. I have this experience. I have these relationships. Isn't it wonderful? But it doesn't have to be push and pull. It doesn't have to be make this or make that. It can be flow. It can be in the zone. It can be present. Nancy, when you're making music, who's making the music? I mean, it must be a wonderful experience not to be in the way and have music happening. Is that what we're doing? You know? So all this struggle that we have, clouds come and go. What else can I say? What do you got?
You're talking to me.
Yeah, you're smiling. So I thought maybe you might have.
I'm such a big believer in impermanence. So you hit it right on the head, I guess.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Anything going on for you guys that you'd like to talk about today? Okay. How about you guys in there in Zoom world? Hi, Ross.
Hi. Hey, thanks for your talk today.
Yeah.
And your meditation. So I have this hesitancy. Anything I say is going to be misinterpreted. There's not much to say after your statements, but I appreciate them. And
I know you'll find a way.
Well, of course, that's my job. I have to see evidence of my own existence.
Yes. That's good. That's very good.
I like the idea of getting out of the way, because that's one of the things I perceive that I have to do, which is in order to be a bodhisattva, as much as I'm able to, I have to continually get out of the way, because I'm trying to, fix things or interpret things. I mean, when I ask the question, how can I help? That involves some degree of identification to try to understand what's going on and how I could be of service or helpful. And also, you know, some action, obviously, that I can only express through that perception or through trying to use the tools that I have as a human being to try to affect that kind of help. And so there's limitations on that. based upon the things you were talking about, that I can't really make anything. I can't change what's going on. I can't change people or circumstances other than the only thing I can change is myself to some extent, to try to adapt to whatever circumstances I find myself in, or whatever people I'm trying to help in whatever way I can. So
yeah, well, you do have cause and conditions, right? So you do have an action and you do have a result. So yes, you can affect how someone is experiencing what you're giving or taking. But from what I'm saying, that's making. So to understand correct action, which is what you're talking about, how do I know when this is correct action rather than action coming from my identification or desire nature, right?
Yes.
How do you know the difference?
In that regard, I'm limited by my experience. Am I experiencing that whatever action I've taken is achieving the desired result of being helpful? Am I actually being helpful here?
Well, how do you define helpful?
Whatever my perception is of ending suffering, or alleviating unnecessary pain.
So how is direct experience involved here?
Through my perception of the person or situation that I'm trying to be helpful to or in.
Okay.
So that's interpretive to the extent that that's my perception again. But what I mean, that's, we're all limited by that.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think you could tell if you've helped someone. I'm saying, I think we can all tell to whether or not we're being effective in trying to alleviate suffering or, you know, make a situation better, whatever that means.
Well, just remember, a bodhisattva is not attached to making a difference. Bodhisattva doesn't think I'm making a difference. That's ego.
So what enables me then to differentiate whether my action is correct or incorrect, other than my own.
The very next moment will let you know.
Okay. But then that still comes back to my perception of what I'm doing and how it's changing or affecting somebody else.
Sometimes perception can be based on the consequences. So it could be an ouch. It could be, you know, an emotional response. It could be all kinds of things in the next moment that teaches you whether you are on what needs to happen next. Not so much about what happened, but what needs to happen next. So every moment is a new moment. Clouds come and go, and we're not to be attached. So even to the idea of being a bodhisattva and helping should not even be there. You should just be there. And you're doing it. So just be there. You're great just the way you are. Just be there. Okay. You don't have to explain it.
Right? Therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem.
You damn lawyers.
bane of my existence. Shakespeare had it right.
No,
I
love your contributions and your questions, and because we all experience exactly what you're talking about. So it's really wonderful to have you share that. And thank you for doing that. And I'm sorry, I'm not poking fun at you. I'm just kind of trying to get past it, right? Trying to get past our identification with things and trying to explain it and just get to doing it.
Well, I appreciate your comments because you're constantly teaching me. And I can't ask for better than that.
All right. Well, thank you. You had a question?
It was just, how do you know when you're doing it and not making it, or something along those lines? I forgot exactly what he had said, and I said, well, how do you know?
Oh.
I don't remember exactly, but I feel like you answered it.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
You're good. Okay. All right. Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to walk out the door here. I'm at the Zendo right now, and I'm doing Dharma. But when I walk out the door, I'll be Will, and I'll be dealing with what is sitting waiting for me back at the house.
So you'll be doing karma.
Yeah, I'll be doing karma. Yeah.
I wanted to say that your instrument, your observations about musicians is 100% correct. If while you're playing, you start thinking, you just mess up. You just have to be an instrument for breath and vibration. Because once your mind enters into it, like, oh, did I play that note right? Oh, is this in the right spot? Or is it too fast? Am I breathing right? You just mess up. And there's people that make millions of dollars trying to do therapy for musicians on this, just trying not to think.
Sounds like I'm in the wrong business.
Yes, you could make a lot of money with musicians.
Okay. Well, I'm available. Thank you. Anything else? Anything else? No.
I talked to you about mindfulness the other day, or maybe last week.
Yeah, yeah.
And somehow I keep feeling that my practice being mindful of what you're talking about really works for me.
Of course. yeah.
Instead of going with gut feelings and imagination and thoughts, I can disseminate that by just putting that aside and being mindful about what I really need and want to feel.
Right.
And it's been working.
Well, excellent.
So I wondered. I know you didn't like the idea.
No, the only thing I don't like is labels, because they're words.
Yeah, okay.
And right now we're talking about direct experience. Yeah. So mindfulness is direct experience. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if you talk about thoughts, how do you think about it? How do you even talk about it if you don't label it?
Well, here's mindfulness.
Okay.
And that is also mindfulness. So, thank you. All right, I'm going to cut out of here. Thanks for joining me today. So it's wonderful to have you with me. Thank you.